Hello. Thank you for downloading this sermon by Pastor Casey Halenchek. Casey is a missionary pastor with Village Missions. Currently, Casey and his wife Hope and their six children serve the Bangor Community Church and the surrounding area of Bangor, California. Village Missions exists to glorify Jesus Christ by developing spiritually vital community churches in rural North America. We now invite you to open your Bibles and journey with us.
All right, good morning, and please grab your Bibles with me. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. If you do not have a Bible or do not own a Bible, please grab one from our table or come see me afterwards, and we'd love to give you one as our gift to you. Today, our journey through the book of Daniel comes to an end. And fittingly, in this last chapter, we see a little bit of everything that we've seen leading up to this. We see visions. We see symbolism, we see prophecy, we see angels, we see the unknown, we see everything. And it starts with a continuation. The end of the vision that was set up in chapter 10, and that was revealed in chapter 11, finishes up at the beginning of chapter 12. And at the point that this last vision started, Daniel would have been around 85 years old. He had lived a lifetime of trusting in the Lord and seeing him come through with the promises and seeing visions and prophecies revealed to him. He had faith in God's promises, but he didn't always see how they were being fulfilled. And so after the Jews were allowed to go back to Jerusalem, the exile that they were in Babylon, at first everything seemed to be looking up. Everything was going well. But very quickly after that, those who were there to rebuild the temple ran into a whole lot of trouble. We glanced at that, looked at a couple of spots in Ezra that deals with the rebuilding of the temple and the troubles that they had. Ultimately, at that point, the rebuild stopped. And so Daniel was discouraged, to say the least. He started praying and fasting and was visited by a messenger who pulled back the curtain and gave Daniel a glimpse of the spiritual warfare going on around us. This warfare, these battles going on every minute of every day. God's angels and Satan's fallen angels battling over the events of this world, trying to influence the outcome. And in the visions that started in chapter 11, we see a prophecy of how some of the history would play out. History that would, by context, be directly affected by these spiritual battles. It went through the rulers of Persia and then Greece, and it made much focus of Antiochus IV, who persecuted the Jewish people very greatly. And then it gave some prophecies regarding how all these things look towards the end Antichrist and the spiritual warfare that will be going on with that as well. During all of this, we see the prophecies laced with phrases and statements that continue to remind us and confirm that God is in complete control. Despite the invisible spiritual battles going on around us and despite them affecting this world, God is completely sovereign and his will be done. I think our songs this morning spoke really well to that as a reminder of that as well. That it's all God's, all in God's hands. And so that's one of the things that we see through Daniel. His God is sovereign. He is the God of all nations, and his will be done. We see specifically with the Antichrist, he shall come to an end. That is up to the current time, 2,500 years before the end. God promises and prophesies and tells us that he will come to an end, that he will not win, he will not rule. Now, the first few verses of chapter 12, like I said, continue the vision from chapter 11, and they finish that up. So that's where we're going to start this morning. I will be reading out of the English Standard Version. I do encourage you to follow along in your preferred translation, whichever one that may be. Daniel 12, 1 through 4, the messenger of the visions continues to speak to Daniel, and he says, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. God bless the reading of his word. We see that Michael here, an angel, is involved in these battles at the end. Very little is actually for sure known about Michael. He's one of two angels that are named in the scriptures, him and Gabriel. Excuse me. We know that he is an archangel. We know that he is a warrior angel, and he is a commander of holy angels. And in the context of chapters 10 and 11, he may be the prince angel of Israel. We know that he will be heavily involved in the spiritual battles going on, especially as we get closer and closer to the end. And we see those battles, that warfare, the powers and principalities that are at work. We see that these things will only get more intense, and they will continue to have a stronger impact on the world around us. This impact will play out in ever-increasing tribulation, in ever-increasing rebellion, and in ever-increasing depravity in this world. One of the roles that we do see angels filling is that of ministering to and protecting those who belong to God. The messenger here tells Daniel that many of God's people shall be delivered. This is not delivered from troubles. This is not delivered from pain, and it's certainly not delivered from death. But this is delivered from Satan's grip. This is deliverance from unbelief. This is deliverance from hell, from what we truly and fully deserve. We will be delivered from those things. And God is faithful. God is faithful that if, in the words of Jesus, we repent and believe the gospel, he is faithful to forgive, to justify, to sanctify, and to glorify. He is faithful to deliver us from his own justice and wrath. We get a testimony of the one and only resurrection of the dead here to take place at the end. Hebrews 9:27 tells us it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. It is what we see here in Daniel is those who are asleep shall awake, and it is at this time that the wheat will be separated from the chaff. It is then that the goats will be separated from the sheep. This is when the righteous will be separated from the unrighteous for all eternity. It won't happen until then. And this is where some Christians have a different view of what is going on as what's going to happen as we move ahead towards the future. There's usually three different views on this. Some see the world becoming more and more Christianized and the church growing strong as we continue to get towards the end. I don't see that anywhere in scriptures, to be honest with you. That's my personal opinion. Some see the world going down the drain, and they see the church following close behind. And I don't think this one's entirely accurate, though I can see why this is believed. I see the third one. I see that the world is going to go down the drain, and some who think they are part of the church will follow the world. But those who are truly... But the church, those who are truly the church, will continue. They will grow strong. God's people will stand firm and they will persevere. They will rise to the occasion and they will be a great witness to what is going on in the broken world around us about God's goodness, faithfulness, forgiveness, and about the holiness of God. The world will go down the drain, but the church will grow strong. It might need to be pruned. We will see that happening. We see that today. But in that pruning, it will grow stronger. One commentator reminds us that despite what we see around us, God has this. And he says the apocalyptic parts of the Bible, like the book of Daniel, remind us that we live in a world that cannot simply be fixed. It needs to be recreated. To be sure, God will eliminate all evil in the end, but sin and sickness will be defeated according to his timetable, not ours. In the end, the broken shall be made whole, and all tears will be wiped away. But until the coming of God's kingdom, brokenness and suffering, pain and persecution will continue to be the normal state for believers. We live in a world that is profoundly broken. We see that every day in our prayer requests. We see that when we pray for not only the sick and the injured, but for friends and family and those around us that don't yet know the Lord. We see that this world is not how it is supposed to be. And it won't be until God comes down and recreates heaven and earth. The messenger tells Daniel to shut these words up, to seal the book, not to keep it unopened, but to keep it unaltered as it awaits fulfillment. We are to make sure that God's word stays as God's word. We treat it as God's word. We believe it as God's word, and we preach and proclaim it as God's word. We see that many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Very similar to our scripture reading from this morning, from Amos 8. There he says, they shall seek the word of the Lord. They shall run to and fro, and they shall seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. And here we see that they shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Those aren't necessarily contradictions. Some may not understand how both of those can come true. Knowledge isn't wisdom. Intellectual knowledge is good. It should be strived for. We should strive to learn as much as we are able to learn. But knowledge of things without the knowledge of God is vanity. Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so we can have knowledge outside of God, but any knowledge worth having is based on and started with God. Think of it like this. We have somebody studying biology, geology, and the like of those sorts of sciences. If they study those things without the knowledge of the Lord, where does it lead them? Down the road to evolution and Darwin and the like. But to study those sciences with a foundation of the Word of God, to study these things already having a knowledge of the Lord, you get to see the beauty of God's handiwork throughout the earth. And you get to see the beauty of God's handiwork and His creativity and His goodness through the animal kingdom and through all creation. You get to see that because you have a knowledge of the Lord. And that simple thing impacts how we see everything around us. And so knowledge is wonderful, and God has given us knowledge, and we are to strive for knowledge, but knowledge without God is nothing. Messenger has finished finished the vision that he is relaying to Daniel. So we'll pick up the last part of this chapter. We read the follow-up to the vision. Chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. Daniel writes, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who is above the waters of the stream, 'How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man clothed in linen, who is above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people come to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, 'O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?' He said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days.'" And thus ends the book of Daniel. So the scene shifts back from the vision that is being revealed to Daniel on the banks of the river with the angels and the messenger. And someone asks the messenger, says, "When? When is all this going to take place? You've given us this vision. You've given us this information. Now tell us when." And it's an interesting question. It's one that we all want to know. But Jesus tells us, when the disciples ask the very same question, he said, "Not even the angels in heaven know." Angels are powerful and they know a lot, but they are not omnipotent They are not omniscient. They too are curious to the events that are going to take place. They too want to be witnesses to these events. And I think that's an important context to as we try to understand what's being said here. Again, Jesus, Mark 13:32, he says, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And so, to be clear, as the angels answer these questions, they are answering with limited and unclear knowledge. And so this messenger answers, and his answer is true. The answer is from God. But he doesn't necessarily know what that answer is going to look like in its details. And first, before he gives that answer, he swears with two hands by the Holy God. And then again, we see this time frame. A time, times, and a half a time. And some see this as a very specific time frame, maybe 3.5 years. Some will see this as a general view for a long time. Most will at least agree that this is a period of time that is shortened because God intervenes. That's what keeps it at a time, times, and a half a time. God has decreed when all things will take place, and those times will be adhered to. The messenger also says, when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. There are a lot of things that this could mean. And I've mostly had 4 commentaries that I've worked off of as I've gone through Daniel. And in those 4 commentaries, I read at least 8 different possibilities of what this could look like. So I'm not going to get into all 8 of them. One comment that I really liked in a way of looking at this, Ian DeGweed says, was there ever a greater display of brokenness that we see than what we see at the cross? At the cross, we see the brokenness of this fallen world that would take its own creator and crucify him. On the cross, we see the brokenness of God's true Israel. There, Jesus Christ personified the holy people of God, where his true power was thoroughly broken. In fact, it was so broken that he needed a stranger to help carry his cross up to Golgotha and then someone to carry his lifeless corpse down again. Was there ever a greater display of weakness and brokenness than the cross? Now we know that, of course, his power was restored after his death with his resurrection. But that just goes to further emphasize how far that fall of brokenness was. And Sinclair Ferguson reminds us that when the powers of darkness have done their worst against the kingdom of God, and the truth of God has been set at a final devaluation, then God will act. That is when he will come up. We don't know when the end will be, but God does. We don't know what lies ahead. We have glimpses, we have ideas, we have prophecies that we will understand after they take place, but we don't know. And he tells us that's enough. And here's the thing. What does Daniel say in response to this? He says, I heard, but I did not understand. We are going to live with unanswered questions. And I know that's hard for a lot of us. Especially, we want to know exactly what all of these different things mean. Especially in books like Daniel. But God tells us in Deuteronomy 29:29 that the secret things belong to the Lord. I know you guys are probably getting sick of me saying that, but it's true. It's in the Bible. You can look it up yourself. We can't and we won't know everything that we want to know. God gives us enough to trust in him. He gives us enough knowledge and enough wisdom to know that he is in control. We put our faith in him and we will act in his will, that he is going to do what he said he will do. And he tells us what to look for. The messenger tells Daniel, he says, hey now, go your way. This is kind of a stay in your lane and focus on your part of this. Don't worry about the things he doesn't have for you. Worry about the things he does have for you. And I want to think, this is the way I think of this, and it helps me. There is so much sin and so much brokenness around us, so much injustice around the world that we cannot fight every battle. We cannot campaign against every single wrong that is out there. But God does bring some causes, some injustices, and some sins to the forefront of our mind and our attention. And those are the ones that we can fight against and campaign against. And that's going to be different for each one of us. And through the church as a whole, we will be able to then fight against all of the sins that we see around us. But our individual jobs are to focus on the ones that God brings to our attention, not to fight on all of them across the board. In this way, the wicked and the righteous will make themselves known, and in the end, all will become clear. The messenger mentions an amount of days that no one is quite sure what they mean, because they don't quite add up to a specific amount of time. They are not, they don't quite fit in what people want them to fit into. And so they could be a general number that means those numbers. It could be literal days. It could be symbolic for years. There's a number of options and nobody knows. What we do know, again, is this, that it's an unknown but very specific amount of time. And again, God knows his timetable. And he will act in his timetable, and his timetable will be adhered to. The last verse, Daniel is told, go your way. Stand firm. Be strong. Persevere to the end. Stay faithful. Do this. Do what you are told to do. Trust in God and believe in the gospel, and you will spend eternity in your allotted place. We see the world as it is, and we see the world as it will be. God gives us that vision. And we see the difference between the two, and so we eagerly live for the world to come. But we live in this world, and we are to act accordingly. Ferguson again says, in every epoch of revelation, God's people have been encouraged to live in the light of what God has promised for the future. We live in this world and by the rules of this world, but above that, we live for God, and we obey the laws of God above the laws of man. God says that we obey the laws of man so much as it doesn't go against the laws of God. We are to work. 2 Peter 3:11-13, he writes, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the days of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to this promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We live with holiness and godliness now because God will recreate the world in which righteousness will dwell. That's what it comes to. The way we live today is because of what we know about the future. If we are consistent in how we see this world, that is because of our faith and because of our beliefs, because of what God has said, that we do good for those around us. It is because of our faith and our views that we take care of the widows and orphans, that we treat people equally as created in the image of God, that we desire to see all come to repentance and faith in Christ and spend eternity away from his wrath and his justice. DeGreed reminds us that we must remember that the primary biblical image for the saints is not that of crusaders, but martyrs. It is not our task to come along on a white horse and save the world. That job belongs to someone else. This world is our temporary home, but our citizenship is in God's kingdom. We are living in exile here on this earth. We work for the welfare of where we live. I think it's in Jeremiah, work for the welfare of the city that you are in. But ultimately, our allegiance is to God. And so we live for him and him alone. We should make the world a different place, but the results are out of our hands. Our faithfulness is what is in our hands. Faithfulness to a holy God and his holy decrees. This has been an incredible eye-opening journey for me as we have walked through Daniel. A lot of resources for how to act, how to live, how to react to what's going on in the world around us today. And as we continue to try to make the world a better place around us by reflecting the glory and holiness of God. I want to leave you with one last passage before I close this in prayer. And this is again from Ian DeGweed. And he says, the day is coming when Jesus Christ will ride out to conquer and to recreate. A day when the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. In the meantime, our tasks as martyrs is simply to testify to the Lord's greatness and grace by our words and by our sufferings. As we cling to God in the midst of trials that we do not understand, we testify of God's grace to a watching world and to the heavenly beings. Like Jacob, who wrestled on with God at the fords of the Jabbok, even after he had been crippled by the encounter, we testify not by our strength and might, but simply by our persistence in clinging on to God in the midst of our brokenness. And when the final triumph sounds for us, bringing to an end our earthly conflict, then at last we too will hear our Redeemer say to us, "As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." We will rise with Daniel, the same Daniel who endured the trial of the lion's den and the challenges of living in an alien land, who prayed daily for the consummation of God's kingdom and who prospered throughout the exile. We will rise with him and with all the saints to receive our final reward in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you for Daniel and for including his story and these visions in your word that we can look to for encouragement, for perseverance, for instruction on how to act in certain situations and living in this world as exiles. Lord, I pray that you continue to help us in our faith, to cling to you in our brokenness, to show your grace to those around us, and to be lifted up as your saints at the end. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have your timing in control, that we can trust in that. And help us to trust in that. Help us to stay focused on that. And help us to stay focused on what you have called for us individually to do. We thank you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Bangor Community Church. You can find us at facebook.com/BANGOR Community Church CA, all one word. If you would like to connect with Pastor Casey, please hop on over to caseyholencik.com. That's caseyholencik.com. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you again for listening and joining us on our journey through God's Word. If you've listened thus far and believe in our ministry or us as a family, please consider partnering with us. We would be honored to know that you are praying with and for us. If you feel compelled to give through financial support, information on how and where to give can be found at caseyholencik.com/giving. Thank you and God bless.